The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Lobontoni. Someone found a tomato that looks like Larry Joe Bird.
I'm Tony Kornheiser. I've got a big toe that looks like Paul McKeskey.
Yeah, you know, Paul McKeskey, I'm going to say like 0.4% of our viewers are going to know Paul McKeskey.
Well, I mean, I remember him. Didn't he play for the Bucks about 7'1",
played
right?
Played for the Bucks. Yeah, 7 feet tall. Yeah.
That's what I thought.
That makes
I'd like
you
to see a picture
and
of the tomato.
The only guys.
I want to see the tomato that looks like Larry Bird. I'd like to see that, actually.
I've seen it. It doesn't
Paul
look
McKeskey,
that much like Larry Bird.
Really Although does. We love Paul McKeskey, honestly. Crazy old man in his own attic. I believe this is day 105 now. In today's episode, the Cardinals are in limbo, the Rockets are rolling, and Brooks Koepka is optimistic. But we begin today with college football. Specifically, a group of Pac-12 football players from at least 9 conference schools threatening not to participate in preseason practices or in regular season games. They are concerned about safety during the pandemic, social justice, and compensation. Wilbon, how seriously do you take their threat to sit?
Very, very, very seriously, Tony. I mean, you know, there were weeks ago when there'd be one episode after another, and I told you I thought it was the beginning of the end of the NCAA as we knew it, you know, as a governing body, overseeing organization. I think this could be the last straw. I mean, this could knock the NCAA completely out. If the Pac-12, Tony, we're not talking about some small, you know, hidden away conference here. So we're talking about one of the Power Five. And with the demands the players are making, none of which sound out of line or outrageous to me, all right? These things all seem well thought out, and they seem proportionate, and they seem like, I mean, the players really took seriously what they were doing here. And then when you get a coach like the one at Washington State, Rolovich, I think that's the pronunciation of his name, when he is essentially threatening one of his players by saying, oh, you can opt out if it's a coronavirus, but if it's to side with these guys, watch out, youngin. It's like, dude, are you paying attention? Tony, I take this very seriously, and I suspect you do too.
Well, I don't go to the NCAA. I go to coaches. I said on this show about a week ago, and I'm going to say it again, that I thought this would be a very tumultuous season for coaches. We had those incidents in Iowa, in Florida State, and Oklahoma State, where essentially what players said was, you know, we see what you're doing, and it's not good enough. I think coaches are justifiably feeling threatened about their absolute power, because I think that's eroding. I think you're right about the NCAA, but to me, this goes to coaches right away. You just cannot make automatic law like you used to do. In terms of this particular threat, though, I think what is going to happen, because it's always happened in the past, is that the players will be cajoled and they'll be satisfied because they want to play.
Right.
They like to play football. So I think they'll end up playing. But this is another brick in the wall
yep.
at the end of absolute power for coaches is what
well,
I think.
Well, Tony, I'd say absolute power for coaches and for the NCAA. I think you can join those concepts if you want. I would, because I think you bring up a great point about coaches, because coaches are they're the first line of, you know, this sort of dictatorship in college football. And they're the first line, and it is being taken away from them. Tony,
yeah.
I think because the players are sort of afraid, and the fear comes from coronavirus, the health and safety issue. They're afraid. They've got parents, and they've got family members, and they've got other people whispering in their ear saying, hey, pay attention here. This is different. I think there's a certain momentum, Tony, that leads to this being more serious, to me taking it more seriously. And these coaches, man, you know what's going to happen. This guy at Washington State's going to try to walk this back. Because that's what coaches do when all of a sudden they realize they don't
have
this
power. That's what the others did.
Power. That's what they've done. You think it's going to work in this case?
That's what they did at Iowa.
Yeah.
That's what they did at Florida State. That's what they did at Oklahoma State. These kids are serious in a regard that's interesting to me. First of all, let me say this, that the reason these things bubble up, there's a political aspect to this, is because this germinates on a college campus. That's what people in college are concerned with. I told you months ago that this was beginning to feel like the 60s.
Yeah.
One of the things that's going on here is these guys in the Pac-12 are saying, hey, reduce the salary of coaches. Coaches can't make this much money. That's a direct shot, not at the NCAA, obviously, but at coaches. And in this particular climate that we live in, I think there's a chance that a lot of these things get accomplished. Not in this narrow vein with the Pac-12,
right.
But they will get accomplished. It's beginning to feel that way, Mike. It is, to me.
I agree with you, Tony. Let's move to the NBA, where the Rockets beat the Bucks with a 16-4 run in the final 3 minutes of the game. James Harden's defense, yes, I said James Harden and defense in the same sentence, forced Giannis into a late turnover. Russell Westbrook scored 31 and said, quote, throughout a game, it's tough to withstand how we play. It definitely wears them down, close quote. Tony, Houston has beaten the Mavericks and Bucks back-to-back in the bubble. Do you respect the Rockets' title chances more now?
Because this is such a weird season, I think everybody is in play. Everybody who actually makes the playoffs, to me, is actually in play. I don't think the Rockets are going to win. They're a very interesting team because they're really small. They're doing something innovative, and they've got two great superior players, but they both have to be great at the same time. Look, these games now, these are random games. When you get into the playoffs, you have a series. You play the same team 4, 5, 6, 7 times, and the other coaches get a book on you, and they learn how to break you down. So, no, I don't like their chances ultimately because they're going to have to play the Clippers and the Lakers. But I think I find them more interesting and intriguing than you do.
No, I find them interesting and intriguing. I just don't think this can win. I love watching. What did I tell you? I called you yesterday, and I said, you better stay awake and watch some of this because I knew I was going to watch it. Tony, a couple of things here. Harden and Westbrook are deep into their careers. You could say they're starting the back nine. They're somewhere around holes 10, 11, 12 right now, Harden and Westbrook. And not only are they great, but they're evolving still as players. They're getting better. Harden, who, according to other players I know and trust to listen to, didn't even try to play defense 4 and 5 years ago. Did not try, according to them. He now not only tries, he's become a pretty darn effective defender. And Russell Westbrook, who was a complete ball hog in his greatness 4 and 5 years ago, now he's not a willing passer. He's a great setup man. Russell, and he goes to the basket. He says, enough threes. I can't shoot threes that well. I'm going to adjust. He and Harden adjust beautifully. Yet, Tony, I have talked to coaches, and they have told me when Harden gets the ball in the playoffs, as you point out, not right now, but in the playoffs, we're going to double-team him. We are going to discombobulate him, and he doesn't know what to do. Now, Harden may trump that. Harden may say, really? But, Tony, I trust those coaches because I've seen it. Harden in a double team is not the same James Harden who dominates the games. I think that's how people will play Houston. But, my God, it is. I would pay money if I could go to watch
There's
Harden
There's one
and
way
Westbrook.
They win. There's one way they win.
How?
Everybody hits enough threes to open up the court so that Westbrook can take twos. Westbrook took 27 twos against Dallas.
Great.
They scored 80 together against Dallas. 80 that they took 109 threes in two games.
But that's
These
too
are
many.
Numbers that are off the charts, but they cannot score 40 and win. They can't.
No, but Tony,
they've got
also,
to do more
you
than
can't
that.
Take, look, they took 61 threes. They had 21, I think. Tony, I've seen them go 0 for 27, miss 27
well,
straight threes. So
that's right.
they hit 21 out of 61 last night. Who knows when they, if they go 7 for 61,
no,
it's curtain.
But it's the only way they can
so
win.
That's
the only way
and
they win.
And by the way, one last thing. The great defensive teams, and Milwaukee is that, all right? They didn't have Bledsoe, so that matters. But I can't see the Lakers and the Clippers particularly letting small ball beat them when they can out-rebound you by 20-something, which the Bucks did, not going to work.
Let's go to yesterday's golf in Memphis. Justin Thomas won by going -5 on Sunday. It was his 13th win in the last 5 years, and it restored him to number one in the world. Brooks Koepka was among a group finishing second, and this was Koepka's best finish in a while. I bring this up because the PGA Championship begins on Thursday. Koepka has won the last two PGAs, and Thomas won the PGA before that. So, Wilbon, was yesterday's finish bigger for Thomas or for Koepka?
I think if you're wearing pink pants and you win, I think that's big for you. So that was Thomas. He's become one of my favorite players. Those are two of my six or seven favorite players on tour, and Koepka's even high, toward the top of that, Tony. Koepka, it seems to me, to answer the question, I think it was for Thomas because he won, all right? But Koepka, Tony, he's talking about knee surgery fairly soon at the end of the season, whatever. I think it's possible that less physicality is better for Koepka. He seems more under control. There's an element of finesse now. Maybe he can't go 100 miles an hour. Maybe he can only go, 85, and that's fine at Koepka's level of strength and athleticism. There's something there's something about him being able to do less that says watch out for Koepka this week.
I think it was more important for Koepka because his last three results were missed cut, tie 62nd, missed cut. And now he says, this is a direct quote, this is where we wanted to be peaking for the PGA. But the tournament came down, if you watched it, I did. It came down to the par 5 16th yesterday. Each guy, first Thomas and then Koepka, had a chip shot of under 100 yards. And Thomas got his to stop 3 feet from the cup, and he made birdie. Koepka's did not check up, and it rolled down a hill, and the tournament was over right then. These are two great, great young players. Koepka's got 4 majors at 30 years old. There's only him and Rory with 4 right now at 30. I wanted to point this out, though, Mike, and if you watched it, it would have been meaningful. Thomas is in the same group as Phil Mickelson, and Phil was among the people who finished second. Thomas's caddy was Bones, Jim McKay.
That was great.
Phil Mickelson,
yes,
his whole career had Bones on the bag.
Yeah.
I wonder how Phil felt looking at Bones helping Justin Thomas in that point. And by the way, if he made 10% on the income, he made $180,000 for the weekend,
Bones,
which is not a bad
weekend.
Bones
seems to know where to go, doesn't he? You think Bones knows
wow,
what he's
let's
doing?
Let's take a break. Yes, let's take a break. Coming up, Aaron Judge is a home run machine.
And where do a flurry of new positive tests leave the St. Louis Cardinals?
They leave them in their hotel because they're not going anywhere.
Man, hey, when is the last time your Nationals played? I've missed the results day after day.
Been about 5 days. They got caught by other teams. They're postponed because the other team's in trouble.
Wow.
So.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/PTI. That's amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
More COVID concerns in baseball. The St. Louis Cardinals report 13 total positive tests, 7 players, 6 staffers. Baseball postponed the team's 4-game, 3-day series in Detroit that was scheduled to start tomorrow. The healthy Cards are currently marooned in Milwaukee and tentatively hope to start up again Friday in St. Louis against the Cubs. Wilbon, the Marlins were one thing, but these are the Cardinals. Is this different?
No, it's not different. They're a baseball team, but it's worse because now you've got another team. You really got three if you want to count the Phillies who've been out of action, whether you think they're, you know, false positives or not. But, Tony, let's go for a second to the weekend in baseball, which they really should have been celebrating coming out of the weekend. You've got Aaron Judge going deep, you know, for the fifth straight game with a home run and six overall so far this season. You got Clayton Kershaw, who wasn't ready to start the season, going 5 2/3 shutout innings. You got my Cubbies going 7-2 and being a hot team in baseball, a team that people pay attention to nationally. And now baseball still can't get it right, Tone, because they've got this situation where the Cardinals are now what? They're going to go home and wait for the Cubs? Like the Cubs are just waiting to say, yeah, let me go into that hotbed and figure out what the Cardinals have and put ourselves at risk. So once again, baseball's got a situation of great uncertainty. The Nationals, when did they last play? April 3rd? They've been out forever.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
It's been a while. The reason it seems like we talk about this every day is because we talk about this every day.
Yeah.
And we don't have a particular solution. There was an Eastern team. Now there is a Midwestern team. The things you say, why would anybody go there to play? Why would anybody want to go to Miami to play? Why would anybody want to go to St. Louis and play when there are tests like this all the time? Baseball says it has a series of protocols to continue the season. I want them to continue the season. You want them to continue the season. But at some point, you just say, you throw up your hands and you go, we can't continue the season because outbreaks are popping up all over the place. When the story was pitched to me early this morning, it was about Aaron Judge and Clayton Kershaw and Yoenis Cespedes and Shohei Ohtani. And I thought, okay, we're going to talk about baseball.
Real baseball.
And I was going to say, Aaron Judge hit one 468 feet. You cannot pitch to that lineup. And here we are again talking about a virus. It just grabs yes. you and yes. pulls you back in.
It is just cloud.
Let's take one last break.
Yeah.
Still to come, Doug Peterson discusses his coronavirus diagnosis. Here we go again, another sport.
Ja Morant and Zion take the court against each other tonight. Ah, basketball, Tone. Hoops, you love Zion. What do you expect?
I expect 10 minutes from Zion and then goodbye.
I'm going to say
that's what
21
I expect.
Minutes from Zion tonight. Huh?
I'm now bought.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's electricebikes.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Happy time, people. Happy 43rd birthday, Tom Brady. 43 is ancient for a football player. Nobody plays quarterback at 43, certainly not at the level Brady has over 40. There's no point talking about how many touchdowns Brady has, or what his completion percentage is, or his 14 Pro Bowls. He's arguably the greatest quarterback of all time, and his Super Bowl accomplishments are unparalleled. But this will be his first year on a team other than New England, and his first year being coached by someone other than Bill Belichick. The biggest question of the 2020 NFL season, if there is a 2020 season, is how will Brady do without Belichick? Not since LeBron James left Cleveland for Miami, and not three, not four, not five, well, actually two, not since then has an athlete's relocation been as talked about and as scrutinized as Brady's will be. What on earth is a sophisticate like Brady doing in an outpost like Tampa?
Ouch.
And can he win a Super Bowl there?
I thought you were past your days of taking shots at Tampa, which you used to do all the time. I think we're on record. You're going with Brady in terms of number of wins this season. I'll stick with Belichick. Yeah. That those are the ground rules, right? If there's
That's
a season.
Right.
Yeah, if.
That's right, if there is. Happy anniversary, Mary Lou Retton. On this day, 36 years ago, Retton, under 5 feet tall and all of 16, became the biggest star of the Los Angeles Olympics when she won the gold medal in the all-around competition. By winning, Retton showed the world that women's gymnastics wasn't the sole property of the communist bloc and extraordinary athletes Olga Korbut and Nadia Comaneci. Retton became to the Summer Olympics what Peggy Fleming and Dorothy Hamill had been to the Winter Olympics, the face of American exceptionalism, this time in the Pixie division. On a personal note, the day after Retton won, she went to the ABC studios in Los Angeles for her first big interview. I was working for the Washington Post, and I was there to write a column about Bella Caroli, the women's team coach. As I waited for Caroli, I found myself in a room with Retton. She was playing that early video game, Pong. The whole world wanted to talk to her, and I could have. She was a tiny thing. She seemed so happy playing the game that I left her alone. I just said hi and congratulations, and I have no regrets whatsoever.
You know what? I'm just thinking. You said biggest star of the 84 Olympics. Bigger than Louganis? Are you sure? Bigger than a young Carl Lewis? Are you sure? I know Flo Jo would go on to more big things with Florence Griffith Joyner. Tony, are you
certain? But women's gymnastics always outrated all the other sports. More people saw it. More people fell in love with it.
I enjoyed myself more at women's track and field. That's just me. And you were there, too.
Well, I like track and field more, too.
All right.
Happy trails to par on the 17th for Joel Schoholm. He made bogey 6, but you have to look at the lengths he went to do it. Schoholm, a Swedish pro, was playing in the European Tour Hero Open in England. His second shot missed the water, which was good, but landed on an actual island, which presented logistical problems. Schoholm rolled up his pants. No, those were his pants, plus 4s. He grabbed some clubs. He got in a rowboat. He pulled himself to the island. He very carefully climbed out of the boat, found his ball, and then had to do some landscaping by moving 2 large metal advertising signs out of the way of his stance. He chipped back onto the green, where the ball rolled off a bit, then returned to the boat and the rope and pulled himself from whence he came. He finished T22nd, but he's got a story to tell for the rest of his life.
That was sort of Jean Vandeveldean, right?
Yeah.
It reminds you of that, Tony. The only place I've ever gotten on a boat to go to a green is in Cabo. You know, you got the obligatory let's show off and have an island green situation. But I'm paying for that. I'm not doing what this guy did, rolling up my plus 4s.
One omission, Northwestern suspended pre-camp workouts after a positive test, the 6th Big Ten program to do so.
We're going to have stories like this constantly, I'm afraid, Tony, no matter what the school is, for the next few weeks, aren't we? It's not like this is going to be the last one. My alma mater.
It is not. Let us go to the big finish.
Let's do it.
Eagles head coach Doug Peterson tested positive for COVID, but is said to be asymptomatic. Your thoughts?
Doug Peterson, 52 years old, certainly not at the height of the danger zone, but I hope Doug Peterson recovers quickly and without drama. That's what I hope. Coach Bud and Billy Donovan were voted the co-winners of the Coaches Association NBA Coach of the Year. You okay with that?
Let me just say this, that I think with Chris Paul, who should get MVP votes, Billy Donovan did a great job unexpectedly. Nick Nurse, without his best player, did a great job unexpectedly. Coach Bud
Coach
got
Spoke,
Giannis.
Coach
get
Spoke
out of here.
Done a heck of a job.
The Orlando Magic lost forward Jonathan Isaac to a torn ACL. Is that a big loss?
I feel so bad for this kid. He had a leg injury earlier in the year. He's a great rookie, but he only played like 30 games. Hope he recovers quickly. Grizzlies versus Pelicans tonight. Ja versus Zion. I know who you got.
It's not Ja versus Zion. Zion's hardly going to play. Last one, Blackhawks and Oilers, game 2 tonight. You're feeling confident, I hope.
No, I know there are no fans, but the game's in Edmonton. On Edmonton's ice, I'm worried, but I want to win game 2.
They won the first one. They got six goals. A lot of time. Trying to do better the next time. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, knuckleheads. You can get the PTI podcast on the ESPN app or Apple Podcast.
U.S. Women's AM at Woodmont. Shout out.